Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. On the night when he was betrayed, before he instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, Jesus showed his disciples what it meant to love. Even though he was their Lord and teacher, in great love and humility, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And a little later, he said to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." This is the same commandment they had known since they were born, the same commandment God's people have always had through the enduring word of God from the beginning, to love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus' sacrificial love reveals the far higher standard that God has for his disciples and, by extension, for us in the church. But herein lies the problem. We Christians can't keep this new commandment any more than we could keep the old commandments. We're wrought with sin, and our selfish nature doesn't want us to love anyone else as we love ourselves, much less to love as Christ loved. But Jesus knows the extent of our sin. Remember, he was in the garden at the fall. He knew that we would need his forgiveness and help. So that very night, after he presided over the feast of the Passover in the upper room with his disciples, after he had shown them how to serve through the washing of their feet, and in his great love for us, he instituted the Lord's Supper. The holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul, write as Christ has also said to us each time we hear the words of institution. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the very night that Jesus gave a new commandment to love one another just as I have loved you, he lovingly gave his true body to eat and his true blood to drink and gave a new testament in his blood. Now, a testament, or also known as a covenant, it must be ratified with a death. And Jesus showed us exactly how he loves us by shedding his blood and dying on the cross for us. Just as the Passover lamb in the Old Testament was slaughtered and the blood was placed on the doorposts and lintel to save God's people within their homes from the coming judgment on the land of Egypt, Jesus was sacrificed on the cross to be the Passover lamb for the whole world. In this New Testament, the feast of the Passover is no longer celebrated, but we celebrate the sacrament of the altar. Now, For what purpose did Christ institute that his true body is to be eaten and his true blood is to be drank in this holy meal? Well, with his own words, Jesus tells us, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This shows us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given to all who believe these words and promises of Jesus. When he gives us his body in the bread, we receive that very same body which was hanged upon the cross to reconcile us to our Father in heaven. When he gives us his blood to drink in the wine, we receive the very blood that was shed for us on the altar of the cross to make propitiation for our sins. Because of our sins, we only deserve God's wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation, just as each of our newest communicants recently answered during their catechism examination. This is what we deserve. But with the forgiveness of sins comes justification before God. Jesus has reconciled us to our Father in heaven by being the propitiation for our sins. We don't receive God's wrath and displeasure. We receive our Father's grace and mercy, and he is well pleased with us. We no longer receive temporal death and eternal damnation. We receive salvation and eternal life. Now, on his last night, before he was handed over, Jesus gave us a new commandment: to love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. But Jesus knows all. He knew we would fail to love as he has loved us. Even for us Christians, who have been renewed by the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of the baptism, we still have that old Adam in us, and that old Adam is fickle and selfish. Jesus knew that the sinful flesh all too often only looks out for number one. In our gospel, John says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved us by dying for us. How many of you would die for someone else? Maybe you husbands would die for your wives, or you mothers would die for your children. But who of you would die for a stranger? How many of you would die for your enemies? To die for another doesn't just mean give up your life for them, but also to put them before you in every aspect of your life, to care for their very need of body and soul without any expectation of a return. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Remember, Paul tells us in Romans 5, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear that? While we were still sinners, while we were God's enemies, Christ died for us. Jesus knew we couldn't keep this new commandment. So in his infinite wisdom and innumerable love, our Lord instituted the holy sacrament of the altar, which forgives our sins when we fail to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do you remember that sinful woman of the city in Luke 7? We talked about her recently. She anointed Jesus' feet with an expensive ointment and wept at his feet and dried his feet with her hair. Just as that sinful woman loved much because her sins, which were many, had been forgiven, so we also are strengthened by the Lord's Supper to love much because our sins, which are many, have been forgiven. John's words, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, were indeed fulfilled on the cross. But they still ring true today. When we receive the bread and the wine in Holy Communion, Jesus is right there, loving us to the end of the age, giving us his true body and blood to forgive us all our sins and strengthen us to love one another as he has loved us. Now, as we worship together this Holy Week, as we see our Lord's great love for us through his passion and how he loves us to the end, we should recall his new commandment to his disciples and thus to us: love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. His love for us led him to suffer and die on the cross. And with that bloody death, he ratified the New Testament in his blood, which he gives you in his Holy Supper, where you receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, just as he promises in his word. And when you find yourself inevitably struggling to keep this new commandment, run to the Lord's Supper, where your sins will be forgiven. You will receive life and salvation, and your love for your neighbor will be strengthened as well. God grant this to us through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.